Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. I want you to be sure to read through all the announcements. We've got so much stuff going on right now, so many different events and happenings. You'll find stuff in there about the poinsettias for Christmas, Christmas program news, Altar Guild, Cowboy Claws, and a number of other things. So please be sure to read those announcements. You're always welcome to take those home with you. And I think we've got a couple of more announcements. Hannah.
Good morning. Please come join us Wednesday, November 19th from 6 to 8:30 for a family hayride in Weenie Rose. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Hannah
and Rebecca.
Good morning. I know the weather doesn't make us think about it, but next week is the last Sunday of the liturgical calendar. So the children are getting ready to have Advent calendars. They'll go home next week because the following Sunday begins Advent, and they'll be collecting non-perishable food items for YAM again this year. There will be baskets at the front and side of the church and the basement for the Sunday school children and also in the educational building. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. Are there other announcements? Anybody else? Then we begin with our gathering hymn, I Saw the Light. Please rise. Congregation may be seated. The congregation is asked to follow along with Holy Baptism. It is in your green hymnal, and it is at the beginning of the hymnal, page 121. Page 121. In Holy Baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
Kelsey, to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the services of God's house and teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations? The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood, you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that she who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of her who is cleansed by this water, and bring her forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Kelsey Faye Camp, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Kelsey, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Kelsey, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with their child the salvation you have given them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new sister a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family.
We receive you as a
fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same heavenly Father, and a worker with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. I think we have some gifts this morning.
I would like to present Kelsey with her first Bible from the Women of St. Paul Lutheran Church. And then we would also like to present you with this book that will explain more about her baptism through all of her years from the Education Committee. Thank
you. And on behalf of the women of the church, we'd like to present Kelsey with a crocheted blanket by the members.
Thank you.
Okay. I can grab her. See what she has to say to me. All right, here we go. All right, we got our newest member. We continue with the prayer of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that while keeping the end of all things in mind, we may be stirred up to holiness in this life and come to be with you forever in that life to come. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We sing the song, Let My Light Shine Bright. This is our yeehaw song, so everybody give me a yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
All right, very good. All right. And we repeat the chorus twice each time. And on the verses, it's a peat and repeat. So I'll speak the first phrase, and the congregation just follows along.
Give me up from off the ground.
Our first reading is from the book of Malachi, chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is Psalm 98, and we'll say it responsively. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our second reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. The word of the Lord.
All the fresh soil.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And the disciples asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to understand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be a great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that in the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. We're going to play a game today, so come on up. And y'all have a seat right here. Leave me a spot in the middle. Okay. And this is one of my favorite games. Okay. All right, and here's how this goes. I have in my hands Daddy in his bed. Okay? And you guys are going to push the alarm clock. Okay? Now, how many times you push the alarm clock is in this hand on this card. Okay? So, do I have a volunteer to come up here and, okay, come on up. Here's your card. What's the number on it? Two. So you get to press that alarm clock button two times. One, two. But nothing happened. Okay, have a seat. Who's next? Who wants to do it next? You want to do it next? Come on. All right. This time you got five. Okay. So press it five times. Whoop, still nothing. Okay. Who's next? Who wants to do it next? All right, come on up. You get to do it four times this time. So press that white button four times. What do you think is going to happen? It needs batteries? Maybe. All right, who's next? Ha, you get seven. All right, here we go. Oh, he threw his hat off even. Okay. All right. All right. So sometimes when you play this game, you're a little worried about when he's going to pop up. You don't know, do you? Even I didn't know, because he pops up at different times all the time. So you never know. And that can be scary. And also you can be kind of hesitant to press it. All right. Well, that's kind of what's happening here in our gospel today, is something's going to happen. Jesus is saying something is going to happen. He's talking about the time he's going to come back. And he mentions all these signs and things. And a lot of time people use these things, use this text, to talk about how our world is like those signs. And they're kind of anticipating the end of time. That can be scary. And you don't know when it is going to happen. Kind of like Daddy waking up. But I want to point out, I hope you listen to all the lessons that are read, because sometimes they work together. And today, instead of being scared and fearful about that time where our time may end and Daddy may wake up or Jesus comes, I want you to look at the Psalms today that we said and listen to what it says. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." What that means is, instead of being scared of this time, I think we should be looking forward to that time. Because he's given us the gift of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will come for you. I am preparing a house for you with rooms in it for you." That's something for me to be excited about. Now, the second lesson, however, talks about being idle. You know what being idle is? That's Daddy laying in the bed. That's laying there waiting for it to happen. Da, 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 da. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to sit there. Well, here's our psalm again. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth into joyous song, sing praises." If we know that Jesus is coming and he's promised us that he's coming, instead of sitting idle, shouldn't we celebrate that? That's why we come here, to hear about that promise. That's why we come here, to sing praises to him and give thanks for that promise, so that when it happens, whenever we don't know, but when it happens, we know we're ready and can celebrate it. Pressing the button isn't scary anymore. It's, when's it going to happen? Great. I hope it's me. So that's what I hope you think about. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being there for us and promising us the gift that you will come again and that you have prepared a place for us. Help us to remember that, but help us not to sit by and just watch. Help us to bring your kingdom here on earth with our actions and our worship. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who are old enough, maybe you can remember back about 26, 27 years ago, the world was very anxious at that time. Many people were worried because the calendar would be rolling over to the year 2000. And there were a lot of predictions of what would happen when that calendar rolls over to the year 2000. Many people were very upset, mainly because of computers. Those older computers, when they put dates on everything for the year, they only had two digits. So that meant when the year rolled over from 1999 to the year 2000, it would be reset back to the year zero. And what would that do then to all the computer systems, even back 26 years ago, almost 26 years ago, what would that do to the world? They were worried all the computer things, anything tied to computers, would fail, which would mean that the grid, the electrical grid, would fail. Everybody's houses would go dark. There would be no electricity. They were worried about dams, that maybe the floodgates would be opened up and there'd be floods everywhere, that there'd be chaos in the skies because all the computers would go down on the control towers. You can imagine anything that was tied to computers. All the bank records would be wiped out. All the stock market records would be wiped out. And they were worried about the chaos that would be hitting throughout the whole world because of the computers. But that was a man-made thing. And they knew it far enough ahead of time that they actually came up with a man-made fix. And for the most part, if you remember, 26 years ago, it rolled over and nothing major happened. There might have been a few glitches with some of the older computers, but for the most part, they had it all fixed. There was really nothing to worry about since they did have it fixed. You know, we get worried with the ideas of what kind of catastrophes can hit, what kind of things can really mess us all up. And there's sense to that. You know, we do need to be prepared for different things that happen. But if we look here in the gospel lesson this morning, here from Matthew, Jesus and his disciples are sitting in the courtyard of the temple. There's probably other people around too listening to the teachings that Jesus was teaching. And they were admiring the temple. The temple was brand new. As a matter of fact, it was still under construction at that time. And they were admiring all the architectural and engineering beauty within this building. The stones were massive and they were brand new. Some of them were marble. Some of them were white limestone, and they just shone in the sun. They were pristine, and they were massive stones that were laid there for the foundations and for the walls. And then there was all the artwork within, all the carvings and the moldings and everything else within that stone. And then some of it was gilded in gold, and it was just reflecting the sun. It was just a marvelous building, a work of wonder. And Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. The time is coming. That got everybody's attention. What do you mean? What's going to happen? And Jesus goes on to speak about all these calamities that will be taking place. Wars, rumors of wars, tumults, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, floods. Families going at it after each other. Just everything going on at the same time. And their question and their reaction is when? When is this going to happen? And how will we know when this is going to happen? But that actually wasn't the right question to ask. That's not where Jesus was going with this. When is not the right question. When we ask the question of when, that means that we're trying to control it. We're trying to stop these things from happening. But we can't stop those things from happening. We can stop the man-made things or some of the man-made things from happening, like in the year 2000 with computers. But we can't stop the earthquakes. We can't stop the floods. We can't stop the rain. We can't stop the droughts. We can't stop pandemics that go raging through. We can't stop pestilence or bugs or all these things. They keep coming at us, and we cannot stop God. We cannot take control. And the question of asking when is this going to happen gives us the sense that we can take control. I know a lot of people some people build bomb shelters, or they build bunkers or those kind of things. And you can even order pallets to stock those. I mean, the pallets come pre-assembled, a whole pallet. You get the water, you get the canned goods, you get the dry goods, you get things like batteries and flashlights and maybe a radio or something. I'm not sure what all goes into those pallets. Blankets, whatever you need to survive in a bunker. We ask the question when, like we can stop it from happening. When the end of the world comes. When we read these lessons, and there's different places in the Bible that are called the Apocrypha. Here in Matthew's Gospel, we see what's called the Little Apocalypse. Mark also has a Little Apocalypse, but most of those kind of writings are in the book of Daniel and then the book of Revelation. And people are fascinated with when. When is this going to take place? And throughout history, then, groups have crunched the numbers in Revelation. They've looked at the book of Daniel. They tie in the politics of present-day time. They look at world events such as the earthquakes or floods or famines or politics that are going on in the world. And they put it all together and they come up with a date. This is going to be the end of the world. And they scare the fool out of people. People believe it, and it scares the fool out of people. They're willing to do anything to follow this leader so that they can survive this, what they call a calamity. As Christians, we don't look at it as a calamity. We look at it as Christ returning, Christ fulfilling his promise. You know, all these things generate fear. We've been through hurricanes, and they're not much fun. We see the destructions that hurricanes bring. Or fires. We see the destruction that a fire will do to a house or to a business or even to a pasture, to wildlands. We see the devastation of floods. Just earlier this year, this summer, we saw the floods that went through Kerrville area and all the destruction that brought and how many lives were lost. These things bring fear. They bring fear to us. And so we want to know when. When is this going to happen? But yet, Christ says, for those who follow me, not a hair on your head will perish. We will have life. It will be a new life. That's part of the promise, is that there will be an end to this world. There'll be end to this heaven. And there will be a new earth and a new heaven, and we will live with God forever. And so we don't fear this. We don't look at that as a time of destruction. Now, for some of the groups, there is a time of destruction, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Some of you remember some of these stories, such as Jim Jones in Guyana. He started out as a kind of in a Pentecostal pastor. He did a lot of good work for helping the homeless, helping the poor, feeding people. He got involved with politics. He ended up assassinating, I think, a congressman. He fled, and he took his whole group down to Guyana. And he continued to go crazy, and they worried about being overrun. And so he mass murdered all his followers. He put cyanide in their drink and had everybody drink the drink. And I think he was responsible for over 900 deaths. But they followed him. They looked at all these things, this apocalyptic stuff of what's going to happen, and they thought this is the best way to handle it, is that mass death. It was destructive. It was something to fear, to see all those dead people. Another story is David Koresh at Waco, if you all remember that story as well then, too, of of how there was a standoff. And I don't remember the federal officers who were there, whether it was ATF or FBI or maybe all of them, that there was a standoff trying to get them to surrender. And when the government finally went in, everybody again was either murdered or they committed suicide. Self-fulfilling prophecies. Out of that fear of destruction of what's going to happen. But as Christians, we don't need to fear that. We look forward to that day because that means the day is the end of all the destructive forces. That's the end of earthquakes and famines and pestilence and disease. That's the end of our sorrows. And it will be the end of death. We will live with God forever. So we look forward to that day. And the disciples asked the question of when. How will we know when this is going to happen? That's not the right question. The right question is how do we respond to this? How do we respond to this? We respond with faith and with hope. That faith and the hope that we live with every single day in our lives, whether our lives are joyful on that day or whether they are very sad, whether we are mourning or grieving, we still have faith and hope because the promises of God are true. Martin Luther was once asked, "What would you do if you knew that tomorrow is the last day, that is the end, that is the end time? Tomorrow, everything will be wiped out." And Martin Luther says, "I'll plant a tree." It doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you think about it. What Martin Luther was saying is that I'll continue on in my life as I have always been living. A faithful witness, a faithful servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will continue on just as he always did. And that's the way we live our lives. Whether we know or whether we don't know when the end times are coming, we just live our faithful lives in service to God and to one another. Or if you flip that whole idea around of living that way, then maybe we need to think, I'll live every single day like tomorrow is the last day. I'll live every single day like tomorrow is the last day. That's simply the way that we live our lives as Christians. Simply trusting in God's word, listening to what Christ has to say, and following Jesus through the rest of our lives. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, On the Wings of a Dove.
On the wings of the storm.
Please rise for the prayers. In the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Most holy God, you promised to come with power, glory, judgment, and healing. Sometimes that disturbs us. We want you to make all things right and new. But before that can happen, you'll show us our sins in all their hurtfulness. Cover us then, Lord, with your healing wings. Clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. Shield us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Cleanse and strengthen your church throughout the world. Make it watchful and faithful. Let it tirelessly preach the gospel and serve the world for Jesus' sake. Make it a place of healing for people who are wounded by the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for missionaries, seminarians, and for all whom you call to be a pastor, chaplain, deacon, or other church worker. Fill them with your Spirit. Kindle faith, hope, and love in their hearts. Surround them by a cloud of faithful witnesses, mentors, teachers, and prayer partners. Bless them to be a blessing to others. Lord, in your mercy. Although the form of this world is passing away, still it is our home. Bestow wisdom, integrity, and mercy upon our leaders in government, education, industry, the military, our courts of justice, and every occupation in which people hold positions of responsibility and power. Grant to everyone the blessing of peace and a measure of prosperity. Lord, in your mercy. Keep all who suffer in your special care. Grant healing to body, soul, heart, and mind. Strengthen everyone who cares for them and surround them with the protection of your holy wings. We lift before you today Lynn McGurra, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Clinton Kaiser, Ron and Margie Wilhelmson, Bridget Intacenti, Carlton Bolting, and Lord, we also ask that you may send rain to water this earth. We also remember in our prayers the families of Kendall Savage and Joe Foster and Shirley Moore. Lord, in your mercy. Most holy God, we thank you for the lives of your faithful people who now rest from their labors. Wipe away the tears of all who mourn their loss. Support us in this life with your word and holy sacraments. Bring us by the merits of Christ into your kingdom, where with all the redeemed, we shall adore you in the unity you share eternally with your Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the benediction to the tune of Edelweiss.
May the Lord.
Our closing hymn, I'll Fly Away. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.